Hell yeah. The Gaming Guru Podcast. Diesel, the best gaming podcast in the world.
We are back jamming to that theme music, man. I'm stoked we changed that because it's such an earworm. It gets stuck in my head. I find myself whistling it for days afterwards. So it's another week and another episode of the Gaming Guru Podcast. Welcome, as always, the lovely Tim down in Cape Town. How are you doing, sir?
Well, thank you, sir. I'm doing very well. And yourself?
I'm really good this morning because I got the announcement that my favorite Dota player has joined my favorite Dota organization, which is Samael has now joined OG. I don't know how they're going to fit in, but I'm just going to jump straight into it and go like, that's my hero of the week, hands down. There's nothing could top this. It's put me in such a good mood. He was floating around the wilderness, not knowing where he was playing. EG had replaced him very quickly. All the other teams' rosters seemed to be closing up. I was like, oh man, where's the boy King going to be playing? And now I find out he's playing for OG, two times TI champions. Very, very cool news.
Yeah, you told me about it. I was like, you know what? Thinking about it now, I think like Samael kind of really fits the position well, because if you think about the way like he's replacing Anna, right? Because Anna's taking like a leave of absence. Yeah, and the way that Anna played, like, yeah, he's a mid, but then he's also a carry player, and he carries a lot of like the momentum, and this team kind of like protects him in this weird 4-protect-1 sort of like mid player role. And like Samael's quite similar, and that might be, I think it was one of the reasons why Samael didn't work as well with EG, because he was trying to fill too much space.
Yeah, and Ortiz is also one of those players that like takes a lot of space and needs a lot of like protection and all that.
So I think that's why he like fit in really well with OG, because the team is, you know, is built that way, and they just play around that. They've created that space for that type of player. So yeah, cool to see that happen.
The only issue I think potentially is that like he is quite an ego, and Anna is the exact opposite. And so how is I think on the field or in the game, totally, and it makes a total sense, but I'm wondering how it's going to work outside of that, you know, like how's the team dynamic, you know, outside of games going to work?
Well, I think with EG, like I feel like their sort of organization culture is a bit egotistic. It's not, you know, and it was like that, like, you know, a couple of rosters back. I think it's just the organization itself. And he was really young when he joined it, so he was impressionable. So you tend to like behave, you know, in a way that reflects your older colleagues or your like teammates, you know, their sentiments to try and fit in. I think like the way that the sort of like mindset and values that OG have will just rub off on Samael. Like I feel like he'll just learn a lot from those guys, like in terms of teamwork and like friendship and, you know, or they call like Disney
flowers,
movie vibe.
Friendship. Cool. Villain for the week, any suggestions?
Oh man, I struggle with this one. I want to say helicopters, but also that's like pretty disingenuous. Or let's say like private jets and flights in general. Like they're just bad for the
environment,
like who needs them? Like take a normal plane, like a normal person, man. Like they use crazy amounts of fuels, huge carbon footprints, and they tend to, you know, end up badly for certain families.
Okay, I think we've said too much. So let's jump straight into news, because we've got quite a cool topic to talk about this week, which is games that were banned either internationally or regionally, and perhaps some of the weird fixes that they had to do in order to get them unbanned. But let's get to the news. What do you got for us?
So I don't know how I always end up with like Witcher news every week.
Because you're obsessed. That's why.
I am, but it's also making news, man. So obviously Witcher did really well on Netflix. It got greenlit for season 2. There was no surprises there. But Netflix also have gone far enough to option an animated movie. So a full-length feature Witcher movie for Netflix animated, which I think is a really, really cool idea. And I've been kind of advocating for this for a while. You know, why can't we have more great animated fantasy movies? Because, like, you know, it's difficult to sometimes motivate a big enough budget to really create the production that will, like, do the IP justice.
Yeah.
Like, let's say, a Game of Thrones, for instance, like the production level, like no one can dispute that, you know, or like Lord of the Rings.
If you had that budget, you could have done it animated and it wouldn't have cost a fraction of what Game of Thrones.
Exactly. And I think like animation, particularly like adult, like geared animation, has got a big enough audience. There's a big enough audience there for it to be successful. You can look at things like Castlevania, any anime, like... You know, people get obsessed with these things. You can do so much. I'm still an advocate for having Game of Thrones redone as an animated series. I think that would be awesome. But yeah, so Witcher Netflix animated movie has been announced. And the next thing that I'm kind of like, I'm excited for, but like also hesitant about would be Lock and Key, which is a comic book that I read a couple years ago by Joe Hill, who's the pseudonym of Stephen King's son. It's obviously learned a lot from the guy. Joe Hill, I really enjoy his writing. I enjoy this book. It's sort of like haunted house slash cosmic horror type vibe. Not so much heavy on ghosts, more on like ancient entity, you know, that is misunderstood. Mm. Whatever. It's coming out this week. The first weekend of Feb, drops on the 7th of Feb. The only other thing that Joe Hill has done, comic book that's been adapted into screenplay for film, was Daniel Radcliffe's Horns, which was an oddly mixed bag. It's got like a really low Metacritic score. Like, I really enjoyed it. There are parts that are genuinely awful and parts that are genuinely brilliant. It's a very mixed bag. So that's like the one and only example of his stuff getting adapted for screen. So I don't really know what's going to happen with this Netflix one. I know that the comic book itself is really fun. It's really exciting. And often these things are hit and miss. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but they're going to give it the Netflix treatment. And yeah. Gonna watch it.
Awesome.
Some more Netflix news. It looks like MGM are looking at not joining in this new sort of age of streaming services, you know, along the lines of, you know, Paramount are doing, or like MSNBC are doing their Peacock thing. You've got Disney Plus, you've got HBO Now, HBO Go, whatever. You know, everyone's launching their streaming services, and MGM are like, no, son. And they're selling off their television and film properties. And companies that are in talks with them currently are Netflix and Apple. And the properties that are up for grabs, you have stuff like James Bond, you've got Rocky, you've got Handmaid's Tale, you've got Mad Max, you've got RoboCop. It's just a huge smorgasbord of dope stuff. So we might see like an Apple TV getting their hands on, like, you know, on a Rocky property. We might see a James Bond series, who knows.
I just always worry with the stuff when it's just like, cool, all these franchises, you go like, why not make new things? Like, instead of spending all this money acquiring these, you know, I won't say dead, but like B-tier franchises, you know, that aren't like, you know, they need a reboot, a lot of them, you know?
So the thing is, like, it's at the current point that we're at with like, with like movie TV licensing, things that already have a designated audience, like, have way more value than a new property.
Fair enough.
Like, immediately, even if it's a property that's been like buried and dead and buried for the last like 5 years.
You don't have to cut through the mess. I mean,
because the marketing's essentially already been done.
I heard this interesting summary of BoJack Horseman, who, I mean, for one, is one of my favorite shows like of all time. And obviously happy, sad that it's going to be ending at the end of Jan now. But it's someone wrote about how if BoJack had been launched now, it wouldn't have had the success that it had, because part of its success was the fact that when it launched 6 years ago, it was like Netflix didn't have a lot of other things. They weren't launching a movie a week and a series every other week. And so kind of BoJack stood out because it was one of those like, oh wow, this is different, and a lot of people saw it. So its first season like probably outperformed the quality of the show. The show went on to go get better and better and better, but like it probably wouldn't have been given season 2 to 6, you know, given its start, you know, assuming that it got launched now, because, you know, as we mentioned, there's a lot of clutter on Netflix at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's almost like becoming someone's role or job now to go like, I can see it. I can honestly see someone starting an entire YouTube channel just on like recommending shows on Netflix. Like, because there's so many things to watch. Like, here are the good things, here are the bad things. Don't waste your time here. These are the stuff you probably wouldn't find unless you're like into the genre heavily, you know, recommendations.
Yeah. So I think that we're going to probably see a lot more of these reboots and rebrands going forward. It's kind of like the model that they're working with now. I stand on the hill that says within the next 5 years, we'll see a Harry Potter reboot, like possibly for like a series or something. I mean, personally, like, I think that would be cool. And you could like make it quite meta. You can be like, you know, this is years and years after the Harry Potter generation, and that's Harry might be, you know, like lecturing
one of the professors.
One of the professors, you know, Defense Against the Dark Arts. Who the fuck knows? Maybe. Although that's a
what does he position. Know about Defense Famous. Against the Dark Arts? Come on.
Where's yeah, he from? Only like died and came back to life. Okay, cool. And then Project X Cloud, which is supposedly the Google Stadia killer. So Google Stadia has been out for a while now, and it's predominantly or at least widely accepted that this platform is not going to the technology is definitely there, but like the world is just not ready for it. There are too many different pay points for the service. You have to buy the game, you have to, you know, have the connection, you have to, you know, pay for the service package on a monthly basis, you know, and they're different, you know, if you want to have your game streamed in 4K 60 frames per second or 4K in inverted commas, you have to get like the premium package, you know what I mean? So like they're even like
pay gating quality,
pay gating the quality of your stream. So Project X Cloud,
Cliffy B like nailed it for me with going like, cool, this stuff sounds rad, talking about Stadia, but he goes like, think of the Venn diagram of who this is targeting. People with incredible internet, people with the money to be able to afford like 60, you know, like the kind of like stupid internet and stupid bandwidth that's going to be required and the cap and all that. And then who don't already have a console. It's like, who are these mysterious like phoenixes? You know, they're so rare that they have like Uber internet, the money to be able to pay for the service, but then can't just afford a console, which is already a better service right now. So it's like,
Yeah. And also then the next big thing will be the games, right? Like what games are on the service, and they're not too many. So Project X Cloud, which is basically the same thing, but for Xbox, and works with your Xbox subscription, works with your Game Pass, your account, and also streams to it. So it's integrated with the system that you already have. You know, we're talking about this Venn diagram, you know, any of these people on this Venn diagram already PS4 or Xbox players/owners? Chances are yes. If they are on that level and they're interested in games and they're gamers, they wouldn't be like, oh shit, you know, fuck, I wish I had something to like play games on. Something to do with all this bandwidth, man, and all this money.
Not going to Google Stadia simply buy like a $100 console like everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like it's just way more accessible. It's already integrated into a system that players are already on with a dedicated audience that's already bought into this brand. So I feel like
go ahead. I keep interrupting you.
No, I feel like it's good. It's just going to like step on the toes of Stadia and just kind of like push it out the way. There we go. I'm done.
And I think, with a name that bad, you know they're focusing most of their resources into making a good product.
Yeah.
Because they seriously did not spend a lot of time naming that.
No.
Project X Cloud. Okay, cool. Next. It honestly sounds like the project's name, like the internal name. And then they're like, yeah, we'll come up with a marketing name later. It's like, okay, cool. Shit, there was something we forgot to do before launching today. Can't put my finger on it. Oh, yeah, the name is garbage. Anyway, thanks for the news, Tim. Some cool stuff. I'm obviously looking forward to that lock and key. Well, I suppose I'm hopeful, but I do have a little bit of a disappointing history with, I suppose you want to call it, cosmic horrors interpretation on film. It's just, except for maybe Event Horizon in a very, very small way, it hasn't been done well. But potentially, you know, you said the source matter is quite strong. So looking forward to that. I'm a big fan also, of the genre, but have been disappointed.
I mean, but also like the source material is a comic book, and it's difficult to adapt comic books because comic books can be wacky and over the top. But then when you put it onto screen and you make actors do things that are wacky and over the top, they look like cartoons and it looks weird. So like tonally, it has to kind of like hit the right notes. Yeah. And for this story, it's sort of like got a, like at the very least, it'll be like an entertaining supernatural teen drama. You know, it's got like a bit of a Goonies feel about it with like the kids kind of, you know, figuring out what's going on in this house and the parents are a bit oblivious. So, So it might hit similar notes to like, Stranger Things, for instance.
Okay.
I think that might be where they're kind of gearing it towards.
Yeah, and I mean, that's totally on brand at the moment, especially if it's, you want to say, like a timepiece in the sense of like a period piece where they decide it's set in the 90s or the 80s or whatever, because then it's all that like referential humor and stuff that Stranger Things does so well with the kind of like, what's it, mid-80s. Sort of memes and fashion and references to TV shows, that sort of stuff.
Coca-Cola new or Coca-Cola original recipe?
Exactly.
Which one's better? Let's talk about it for 20 minutes. Casual product placement.
So, let's jump into this topic. We've been chewing it up during the week, and I'm excited to talk about it because it's such a... It's such a weird topic, honestly. Like, what we wanted to talk about was games that have been banned, or at least regionally banned at some point in their history. And obviously, we're going to go through some of the ones you're going to know about. Pretty much anything made by Rockstar that isn't a table tennis game. Also, for those who don't know, Rockstar made a table tennis game at one stage, with lots of hookers and gore and shooting of innocent bystanders. But there's a lot of games. That, I mean, just go on a Wikipedia and search like a list of regionally censored games. There's honestly like probably 300 games here, and some of them are banned for the most random reasons. The one I was just scrolling through here, it's just like, did you know that Super Mario RPG Bowser's first fist pose, he like stands in the front cover like giving a fist like ah, was changed for Western releases because it was deemed to be an obscene gesture in Western territories. It's like, okay, cool. So they just changed the whole thing, as well as the word bugger, because Croco, he gets upset and whatever and says the word bugger. And so it was replaced with pest. It's like, oh, okay. Because obviously they intended for sodomy reference.
All this fisting and buggery.
Exactly.
It's hersey.
Cool. Do you want to go through some of your list? These are obviously the big bad boys.
Yeah. So, So with any game, when it comes to getting to the release, they've got to get a classification from a ratings board. And, you know, each country has different codes and, you know, take it on a case-by-case basis. Some things just won't get through based on its content. It's mostly content-based. So top one on my list, I've got this game called, fuck, we're starting this off like pretty rough.
Yo, this is a pretty heavy start.
it's a not all of them are as bad as this, but this one's pretty bad. A game called Replay, which is a Japanese game, puts you in the shoes of a sexual predator tasked with stalking a mother and her two daughters and performing forced lewd sexual acts on them. Banned in multiple countries.
Just to even pitch that. You're like, imagine sitting in an elevator at some sort of like Gamescom or, you know, GDC or whatever. And it's just like, hey, so you're an indie dev. Yeah. What's your game about? So you're a sexual predator. Okay. And you have to stalk a mom and her two daughters and then force them into performing sexual acts. Okay, okay. And the name? Rape Lay. Okay. I'm not going to ask for your card because I don't want to touch anything that you've touched.
Yeah, I mean, even if it wasn't just like one indie dev, it's like him and his team like brainstormed this together. That's how most ideas come. It's like, fuck, guys, do we have an idea for a new game? It's like, I'm thinking something with an R. run, rape. It's like, rape. Okay, cool. We got it. Okay, who are we raping? Let's go around the table. Mothers, kids, fathers, brothers, sisters. Oh, my God. Okay. Enough of the rape.
Exactly. Yeah, so banned in multiple countries, hashtag duh.
Yeah. Moving on. So we got a game called Manhunt. Did you ever come across Manhunt?
I played Manhunt, and I have to be honest, it's one of the few games where I stopped playing. Don't get me wrong, I stopped playing a lot of games, but stopped playing for the reason of like feeling icky. Like I don't know if
you're
like
make you feel icky, didn't it?
Yeah, just like playing this, I'm like, I don't feel good playing this game, so I'm just gonna stop. And that I thought was relatively mature for 16-year-old me, because normally it's just one of those like must experience the darkest parts of human psyche so I can seem hardcore to my friends.
So this game is another good example of Rockstar kind of just like figuring out where the line has been drawn. They're like, guys,
and making a sequel.
And making a sequel too, like to the first game that was banned. So I played this game when I was in like grade 11 or matric or something. It made its way around like all the computers of the guys at school because we had the school intranet, and because it was banned, it made it cool, right? It's like, play this like brutal banned game, you know. And it's something to do with snuff porn. I can't necessarily remember how it's connected, but I know that you're on the run, and various weapons that you find throughout the levels you can use to murder people in like really creative ways, and they have these like crazy like cutscenes of
plastic bags and stuff like that just to like strangle people. And
it was quite grisly, quite brutal. So the first game was banned in several countries, and the second game, Manhunt 2, how they got to Manhunt 2 and actually dedicated money and dev hours towards this thing is beyond me. So the second game was refused classification in the UK, deemed too messed up to even get a rating. So the ratings board wouldn't even touch it. They're like, get this thing away from us.
Totally understandable, if you know what I mean. Like the premise is you're this, escaped convict, and this, you know, guy is just like running the show in a kind of Saw-esque, I want to play a game kind of thing. Where he goes, basically, it's everyone's out to kill you, survive, and we'll set you free type thing. And the only way to survive is to kill everyone in your path. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but isn't the game like everything's being filmed?
It's all done through CCTV.
Yeah. So when you do these like brutal kills, you see this like grainy CCTV footage of you like sticking a piece of glass in someone's eye and like, you know, ripping
and
them
people
up.
Watching it. Yeah. Yeah. Like it's so supposedly like someone's almost watching this show that you're putting on. Yeah. It's pretty grisly.
So then we got Postal and Postal 2. I played Postal 1. I was one of those like top down games, similar to like a Grand Theft Auto style, like, vibe where you just kind of like going
the second
postal.
One was first person, if I remember,
because
I remember playing postal, which was first person, and must have been two then.
So the game is about going on obviously a murder rampage. The New Zealand ban cites the game as gross, abhorrent content, urination, high impact violence, animal cruelty, homophobia, racial and ethnic stereotype. And the penalty for owning a copy was $1,400 fine. They're like, nope.
And we're going to take your money away from you. As if buying the game wasn't enough of a fine, you're going to get a literal fine from the government for owning a copy of this game.
Yeah, so if you think about it, like instead of owning a copy of Postal 2, you can use that $1,400 to like just buy better games.
Exactly. Buy a whole console, shit. Yeah, but I mean, those three already are being banned for like the most obvious reason of going like, it's just over the top, like violence and well, in the first one, it's kind of sexual violence as well, but it was just it kind of all of these, if you gave me a list, it'd be kind of like, yeah, no duh, like this is pretty obvious. It's not like I'm going to get butthurt about the fact that like these were banned. Like, what are they thinking? The censors are crazy. This is where you honestly feel, and maybe it's like the parent in me coming out going, yeah, you did your job there, censorship board. This stuff shouldn't be seen by anyone.
Any audience, yeah.
Yeah.
What are some that you have on your list?
Yeah, so some of them for me which were interesting because I researched more like they weren't banned, but they were fixed to try and like meet, just one of those like, we've made this movie. We are obviously we stand by the creative process and we want to, you know, try and keep it in its kind of full form, but also we'd like to make money. So if you guys are putting a ban, we're kind of like, cool, we'll bend over backwards and jump through hoops to be able to make money. And so like some of the classics one was, I don't know if you remember when Mortal Kombat 1 was obviously hit in all the arcades and then it got launched onto the SNES, and Nintendo have always had a very, very strict kind of family first policy. And so, if you look through this list on Wikipedia, like pretty much 50% of the things have been Nintendo going, nope, you know, you need to fix this. And Mortal Kombat's one was because of the family friendly policy of Nintendo, they changed all the blood to sweat. And pretty much all the fatalities just became like finishing moves. And if I remember seeing videos, the finishing moves were basically just like an uppercut, like you wouldn't like lose your head or fall into spikes or be maimed or, you know, have your skeleton ripped out of your butthole. It was just like, finishing move, punch. Ah, okay, cool. Like, so I'm not sure how, I know it did really well before the console because of the console install base is really high, but I wonder how popular it was amongst players. Like, finally get a copy of Mortal Kombat, and then let's be honest, the thing that made Mortal Kombat was missing.
The fatalities, dude.
Yeah.
It's all about the fatalities. That's the only reason you want to get to the end of the fight so you can like show off with some like crazy fatality. I used to
back in the day when they weren't readily known. You know what I mean? It's like nowadays you open up the menu, you go, oh, how do I do fatality? Okay, forward. It was like a 10-button string and no one knew them because there was no internet to go like research them. You just like found a buddy or a magazine that, you know, managed to print them all, and like everybody had a photocopy of these in like a flip file.
Yeah, so I actually had one of those like magazines with all those fatalities on the back, and I used to like sit and practice them. There's some really some really overboard ones where like you'd have to like hold a certain button in for like 30 seconds, which means you have to have been holding it in like during the fight, so that once the fight is over, you can release it and do the rest of the combination to pull it off. I think there was one of those timed ones for Reptile, for Gora as well, for Shang Tsung. I remember doing like quite a lot, like figuring out quite a lot of those with a magazine. So
one of the interesting regionally banned ones or changed to be able to fit the censorship laws, PUBG in China, I don't know if you know this, but like you don't die. You basically, it's like Fortnite style, where you teleport away. So what happens is you down the enemy and they kind of sit there, not like in PUBG, where like you're holding your guts, whatever. They just kind of like sit passively there waiting for you, like almost like a kid's game where they've been tagged, you know, sit cross-legged and wait till you get untagged, like stuck in a mud type thing. And then if they bleed out, or it wouldn't be in this case bleed out, if they just like expire, then they wave. I think they wave or they salute, and then they just disappear. They just like evaporate into the ether after like waving to the person who's killed them.
Bye, dude. Okay. Thanks for shooting me.
Yeah, thanks.
I'll get you next time.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah, yell further. Like, anyway.
Get that chicken.
Any
more you want to cover?
Well, I mean, one that. Also one of those feelings where like you while playing it feel a little bit icky. Do you remember Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the stage called No Russian?
No, I don't remember that one.
Oh, so what happens, it literally starts, you get out of a van at an airport, like armed to the teeth, like fucking crazy rifles and everything.
Wait, I remember, and you go and you rip up an airport, right?
Yeah, but it literally like that you are these Russian kind of terrorists or whatever, but like the pretty much the only words that are said as the mission starts is remember no Russian, and then you just go to town on this airport. And so yeah, that that was removed from guess which country's version.
Russia.
The Russian version, yeah, that was just removed. Wait, this makes us look bad.
I do remember that level. I didn't remember that that's what it was called, but I distinctly have a memory of, like, you know, creeping up on this airport and just fucking it shit up.
Exactly.
It was quite fun. That was the best Call of Duty. Like, that campaign, like, got me into FPS. Like, that campaign, like, made me like, okay, FPS is cool. I want to play FPS games.
Yeah, although the recent one is an homage to that. It's pretty decent. But I think FPS games have just gone the way of multiplayer. I think multiplayer, instead of being an add-on, you know, they're kind of like, hey, once you're done, you can play with your friends. It's been like the main feature. I mean, so much so that Black Ops 4 didn't even have a single player. It's just like, cool. We're not going to put money into it because y'all ain't going to play it.
Yeah, so another one that I thought was kind of fun and random was the Pokemon trading card game. So Saudi Arabia banned both the electronic and physical versions of this game because the symbol for energy in the game resembles a Star of David. So the energy cards that you get like, you know, different elemental energy cards, but then you also get a white card, which is basically universal. You can use it for any Pokemon, any move. You just pull a white one. It doesn't have to be specifically water, fire, grass, whatever. And that had like a little ball with a star in it. And they're like, well, stars, I mean, kind of looks like Star of David, right? Even the Star of David's a 6-pointed star. This one's a normal 5-pointed star. So anything that mildly resembles, like, I don't know, like the Zionists, like states, whatever, they can like get rid of that. So no Pokemon in Saudi Arabia. Feels bad, man.
And on fine of death if you caught with one.
Yeah, probably. Or they'll cut off the hand that you use to throw Pokeballs with.
Not my pokey hand.
Try to catch them all now, motherfucker.
But also one of those weird things are like, game's totally fine. One random element, I'll be honest, not even 1% of the game is something that we find controversial. Won't get you to change it. Just ban your entire game. Next.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder if they. I wonder if they banned it because it like it was going to be competition to their own trading card game that they were.
That's a classic Saudi move. That
So the next one, I guess, big obvious one would be GTA, another Rockstar favorite. It was banned in several countries, but the one notable one would have been the Thailand ban, where in 2008, a young man hailed down a cab in Bangkok, and when it was time to pay, instead of pulling out money, he pulled out a knife and stabbed the driver to death. And when cops picked him up, he blamed GTA for his violence. I think there was like a similar story, like what, a couple of years ago about GTA 4, like some kid just... He like was speeding and the cops like started chasing him, and then he took them on like this elaborate like speeding chase around around town. Yeah. And when they stopped him, like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah, like why, dude, what the hell? Like, why are you like, you know, why are you running? He was like, what? He was like, well, sorry, dude, I've been playing like GTA for the last like 4 days. It's like you just get stuck in that mode.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I played a lot of Tony Hawk as a kid, and I would walk around like areas outside and go, well, I could ollie that, then grind onto there, then I could like a 50-50 down that, and then onto that rope. But I never did it because I don't have the fucking skateboarding skills, or at that stage, to be honest, even a skateboard. But yeah, it feels sometimes like one of those like, not a lot of grown-ups seem to understand video games. So if I just make it like, it's almost like the insanity plead. A video game made me done it. Like, oh, okay, cool. Well, it must be the video games. Violent Tetris generation, finally.
So famously, China also has issues with a lot of games for various reasons. It's usually when it's somehow contradicting their claims of like imperialism.
Yeah.
So one of those examples would be Command and Conquer Generals, where in the game story mode, there's a nuclear device that's detonated in Beijing at the beginning of the game. And like, obviously China was like not impressed by that, you know? So that game got banned in China. Another game that got banned in China.
With that one, there's a lot of sensitivity, it seems, around like nukes. Because when I was reading through my list, like for example, in Fallout 3, there's a side quest referred to the power of the atom. That was changed in the Japanese version. Because like it was just too close to like, I mean, they obviously got hit by two nuclear bombs. And for example, there's the Fat Man is the nuclear catapult weapon. I don't know if you know, like basically just like it's a catty for a nuke. And it was just renamed to the nuclear launcher. You know, just obviously because Fat Man is too similar to, I think, Fat Boy, which is the bomb dropped on Nagasaki.
Gotcha.
So there's a lot of sensitivity around like nukes in certain countries.
Yeah, like side note, I've been watching, there's this new Netflix like World War II docuseries, like colorized, which goes into like kind of like each big sort of like checkpoint of the Second World War, ending with the bombs, obviously. And a lot of the Japanese stuff in there was quite intense. I mean, like, still to this day, so hectic. So another notable for China would be Football Manager 2005. I think it was an EA game, EA Football Manager. Was banned in China when it was found that places like Tibet and Taiwan were included as separate countries in the game.
Oh, God. So, yeah, Football Manager, joining the lists of Manhunt, Replay, and other GTA titles due to the fact that they had the audacity to make Tibet and China separate countries. Okay.
Mm-hmm. There's that. What else you got on your list?
What's interesting as well is often some games get released and then the almost the zeitgeist moves in a way that you can't say that now, and so they go back and they fix it. So for example, Mario Party 8, which is quite a recent game. I mean, it's the most recent Mario Party. It came out, geez, I don't know, like maybe 3-4 years ago. And in the UK version, the word spastic was changed to erratic. Because there's obviously controversy around the word spastic, whereas like in a lot of countries, it just means to like, I don't know, just to like lose control and go kind of a little bit, I suppose a little bit crazy and uncontrollable. Like erratic is a good synonym, but like in a lot of countries, spastic is linked to, you know, retardation or, you know, to be physically disabled or whatever. And so cool, had to change that. And so I went back and fixed Mario Party 8. To fit in with the requirements of the time.
Yeah, I think it's not disabled anymore. What is it, like differently abled or something like that?
Yeah.
Or yeah, that whole term in itself has become like difficult to use. So another Rockstar game. There's so many.
Oh, well, you know. They probably have like some sort of kind of like, dudes, we did it. We're like on the top list of most banned games in the most countries. Cool. What's next? Replay 2.
Replay 2. If you think about kind of like taking this game, this next game that was banned is called Bully. And it was came out in 2006, and it was a tale of an English schoolboy trying to navigate the social hierarchy of boarding school. And it was banned in Brazil because they thought that the actually having a game set in a school and having that be the subject matter will be would just be bad because it like reflects school life. You know, you can't have school kids playing a game about being in school and bullying people because then be like, well, I'm in school, I guess,
and
I could
bully people,
bully someone. But it's weird looking at like Rockstar's collection of games and how they made it on this list. It just sounds like they have this like table, you know, of insane people just throwing out the wildest like ideas and seeing which ones like stick to the wall, you know, the wildest, most controversial out there. I'm pretty sure that people at the Rockstar, like a creative, you know, brainstorm table, like, fuck dude, why didn't we come up with Replay? Damn it. These other guys got there before us. Shit. Japanese dude. Damn. So
yeah, I mean, I'm just going through the list now of like games that were like kind of outright banned in certain countries. And the main thing seems to be like what they call a ban because of high impact, gory violence. And so it's like pretty much all the Mortal Kombat Postals here. There was a Postal 3. I didn't know that.
They made it to Postal 3. They're like, next time, guys. We'll get them next time.
Like the Resident Evils have all been banned in some or other country. Saints Row's. Yeah, kind of all linked to violence. I think some countries have like a far more protective kind of nature around violence. The country that seems to be doling out like a lot of bans or a lot of like censorship sort of things, China, as we mentioned, Saudi Arabia, New Zealand, and then obviously, and with Saudi is the UAE, but then Australia, like, I don't know, it's like, is it their nanny states or their very strict kind of like censorship boards or cultural sensitivities or?
Yeah, so with Saudi, I know, coming back to The Witcher, I remember in the documentary, so to get released in Saudi, they'd have to take out any drinking, any alcohol from the game. All the prostitutes should be gone. You can't really have sex with, you know, so there were too many things to remove from the game. I think
they just decided not to ban that whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, might as well just not. Because there was a case for CD Projekt to go and actually take these things out the game in order to release in that region. And eventually, I think they were like, no, it's fine. We'll just, you know, not be in Saudi.
Yeah, it's just like, cool, we won't sell the, like, whatever, 10,000 copies we'd have sold there. Meanwhile, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars editing all the shit out of our games. Like,
well, exactly.
And let's be honest, like, people will still get copies of the game because, like you said, it becomes cool and contraband and... Yeah, you want to be the cool kid who's got the copy of some sort of illicit game like, you know, Pokemon.
Yeah, so another couple of like notable mentions that I have down here at the end of my list. There's a game called Active Shooter, which was on Steam for a while, which was literally about being a school shooter.
Oh, and, God.
And just, yeah, rampaging some kids in class.
How did these games get past like... spitball idea. We were just sitting in a room. Hey, let's come up with a new game. Oh, yeah, it's going to be the school shooter game. Yeah, yeah, lol. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's fine. We had a lot of laughs. Okay, cool. Real talk now. What games are we going to do? Like, how does it get past that discussion?
Yeah, and I mean, another discussion around that would be like the big story that came out around that game, Active Shooter, which I think were launched in like 2017 or 18. The big story was like, how could it be on Steam for as long as it was on Steam?
Oh,
like, you could still it was on Steam for like almost a year, I think, before it was eventually removed. And that was during the time when Steam were like going back on their policy of kind of like quality checking the stuff on their storefront, and eventually they even released a statement saying, look, you know what, we're not going to do this, we're not even going to bother, you know, checking these games on Steam, there's too much, like, we'll leave it up to the user.
Yeah.
But then you get games like this, you know, making it on the platform and sticking around for a long, long time.
Yeah, and you can't imagine it didn't go like on without getting flagged by multiple users going like, yeah, I bought this, but like, this is a bit heavy. Or, you know, I watched someone stream and this and going, this is rough.
It did get flagged by many users, but I guess the bigger danger would be, you know, the bigger danger in having a game like that on your storefront for so long is that it gives leverage to, you know, people in government who are trying to bring the hammer down on the gaming industry, you know, saying things like, you know, Steam's out of control, we got to regulate this market, and you know, that kind of stuff. It just really gives them more fodder to go off on those tangents. Because one thing I read recently was like, the only reason why politicians are making a huge noise about gaming or violence in video games is because they're not making any of the money from it, you know.
Okay. Yeah,
they want to get a piece of the pie. They want to get in on that. So they want kickbacks from the gaming industry, and they're not really getting it. And so they make a big noise about this thing. And Active Shooter is a good target.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure something they use as an example. You know, often. I mean, I often see these kind of reports where the you know, like an educator or someone will sit on a news channel and talk about like violence in video games, and they're trying to go like, games are good in the falling hands, and it's like all these like naff educational games, and then they'll go, but games are also bad, and then they'll quote GTA and all that. But then they'll say things like, you know, in GTA, you can just like do this and do that the next thing. And I'm like, I play GTA. You can't do that. Like they'll name something like ridiculous. Like obviously we know the classic one of like have sex with a prostitute and then like you kill the prostitute and then you get your money back. But like they'll be like, you can find underage people and then like give them drugs and then like, you know, basically, you know, rape a cop, whatever. And it's just like, no, you can't. Like you just you're betting on the fact that anyone you're talking to in this interview has also not played GTA, and so you could just make up whatever the fuck you want, because no one in these, like, let's be honest, in these lobby groups has probably played GTA. So they're going, yeah. Oh my god, that's ridiculous, like let's ban this. Meanwhile, if anyone who was in that audience who played it gone like, yeah, you can't do that, or that's heavily censored, or you know, you can't see that, so you're all making up stories.
Yeah. But so the last game I have on my list is a game called The Guy Game, which was
The Guy Game.
Did you ever play it?
No, I've never heard of it until 3 seconds ago.
So it's one of these multiple choice games that rewards you with like some like live behind the scenes, like FTV footage of like models taking their tops off. It's like, so you get a couple of questions right and it's like, congratulations. And then it just shows you like a cutscene of like these girls backstage, like getting naked. And okay. One of the models, however, was 17. So the game was in violation of child pornography statutes and got super banned. It was like, get out of town, mate.
I know it's weird, but like, look, and should be banned, underage, you know, classified as like kiddie porn, all that. But like, that honestly seems like one of those, like, just, you weren't trying to be dodgy, if you know what I mean. You were just like, you fucked up. Like, you should have done the checks and balances that, like, get everyone's releases, get proof of ID, all that sort of stuff. But you probably just like, oh, just get the game out. It doesn't matter. You know, it's just like, you got banned. You got banned for being stupid. Not banned for being edgy. So yeah, seems like anything can get you banned: being stupid, or being edgy, or creating a game with obtuse violence, or even worse, calling Tibet and China separate countries. So all things to think about when you're developing your next game. That's pretty much all I've got on my list. The rest are like really, really odd things. Like I saw like Ghouls and Goblins had like got banned because of, or and then had to get changed because the tombstones had like crucifixes and kind of crosses on them. So like we just had to change those into like an angel or something else to change the like tombstones into being not having crosses on, because heaven forbid there's a cross on a tombstone. But yeah, cool. Feels like we've hit a bit of a dead end, a weird ending here.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, yes, I've hit the end of my content, but I did want to ask you what you're playing this week, because I wanted to talk about what I was playing this week.
Okay, cool. Nice segue. I'll just say that I'm playing Hearthstone at the moment. I managed to get to rank 2. I know last time we spoke, I got to rank 3, and now I want to keep climbing. So hopefully, I can hit rank Legend at some stage in my life, so that my life will matter. That's about it. Otherwise, I've just been dabbling with Dark Souls 3, just because, like, I hate myself. We chatted about it, I think, 2 weeks ago or so, and I was just like, oh man, really want to play the game again. But after having played Sekiro, I'm kind of like, I should actually just play Sekiro again. It's just a vastly superior game.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Death Stranding. I'm about 50 hours in. At this point, it's basically Minecraft, because I'm just like collecting minerals and resources and building roads. Like, okay. I got into this weird space where I was like, you know, when I first encountered the kind of like foot soldiery slash like bad guy goons of the game, the mules, you know, who are addicted to delivering packages. I was like, that's just ridiculous. That's like Kojima making an actual joke. And then after about 40 hours of playing, after about 40 hours of playing, I realized that I am addicted to to delivering packages. When my girlfriend was like, Tim, please put that fucking game off. I'm like, I have to make one more delivery. And that's basically where I'm at, just like delivering packages like up and down this landscape. And I've been playing a bit of Path of Exile on PS4. I just wanted to try out the client. It's fun. It's the same as the same game. I would say it's probably easier to play on a PC simply because I've played it for so many years. I'm so used to like the way that it's optimized for PC. It runs really smoothly. I can say that, and the load times are like really quick. So I actually prefer the experience on PS4 to like my laptop. But then it's also like getting my head around the controls. Like, it doesn't feel as intuitive as I want it to. Sure, a lot of cool quality of life stuff. That and Goat Simulator is for Geos.
Oh yeah, I must download that. I believe it's free.
It's free this month
on PSN Plus and the Uncharted trilogy, which is always good
for a
laugh.
That's a great one to have in the bank, man. Yeah. Like, I still got the Uncharted trilogy on my shelf. Dig that game.
Yeah.
Dig them all.
Awesome. Well, thanks everyone for listening to our discussion about banned games. If there's anything that you think we've forgotten on the list, I know we'd like to think we're quite thorough, but maybe something slipped through the cracks, a banned game, or more importantly, a game that should have been banned.
If there are any games that you think should be banned that aren't currently, or that I'm you would just like to see striked from the record.
Let's get bad games aside that should just like not have existed. I honestly am surprised that Counter-Strike, the terminology, is not banned. Just the terrorist, counter-terrorist thing. Like, I'm just surprised like that it's lasted. Geez, how long has CS been around? Like 10, 20 years or so? Like, just the fact that, especially going through like the very hot period of terrorism, you know, the kind of like 9/11-esque post that sort of era, that they didn't just change it to like I don't know, something else, naughties and goodies, you know, cops and robbers, whatever. But like that surprises me. You know, if Mario can't say spastic, but like they can, you know, say terrorists and counter-terrorists, it's just like, oh, okay, cue. But that's just the one that comes, you know, top of mind. And yourself?
Goat Simulator.
Goat Simulator. Yeah, it's atrocious.
I think it's like terribly racist towards goats.
Okay.
Yes. Their tongues are not that long.
Yeah, it's factually incorrect. It's really giving them a bad name. But on that note, as always, if you want to get a hold of us, you can contact us on Twitter at Guru_podcast. Earn that underscore, must shout about it. And if you want to get a hold of Tim or myself, it's at Tim and Fish or at the Gareth Woods, all on Twitter, because pretty much the only social media I use. But until next time, you just keep playing games and having fun.
You too, sir. Ooh, baby.